Hey, small business owners, do you pay yourself a below market wage to keep your business profitable? Or maybe you take draws, but they're timed sporadically and of varying amounts. On today's show, we'll talk with an experienced accounting professional about how this practice is hurting your business. Hey everyone, welcome to Small Biz Flash, your briefing on small business news, trends, and insights. I'm your host, Adam Hewitt. Thanks for joining me. Stay tuned, because a lot of you out there are probably paying yourself the wrong way, but we're going to help you fix your own compensation structure today. We'll get to that shortly, but first, the news roundup. Owners of small companies were less optimistic in February, according to the latest Small Business Optimism Index, which decreased to 89.4, down 0.5 from January. The number from the National Federation of Independent Business had been trending lower every month since August of last year, with the exception of December. 23% of small business owners reported that inflation was their single most important business problem, up 3 points from last month and replacing labor quality as the top problem. 54% of owners reported capital outlays in the last 6 months, down 5 points from January. The frequency of reports of positive profit trends was a net negative 31%, a very poor reading. One of the brighter notes in the report, the net percent of owners who expect real sales to be higher increased 6 points from January to a net negative 10%. Another federal government regulation impacting small businesses is facing legal challenges. In the last episode, I told you about lawsuits against the Treasury Department's Beneficial Ownership Information Rule. Now, the Labor Department's new independent contractor rule is also facing lawsuits, at least five of them at present, including one in which the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has joined. The new regulation, which went into effect on March 11th, makes it more difficult for companies to classify workers as independent contractors. The rule has been opposed by numerous small business groups who argue it doesn't fit with today's gig economy and that it makes compliance even more burdensome. The Small Business Administration has announced that National Small Business Week will take place this year from April 28th to May 4th. SBA will again hold a free, nationwide virtual summit as part of the event, which will include business content and advice, networking opportunities, and resources. You can find more information on this and other stories in the news roundup by going to the links in the show notes. So today we're talking about three ways underpaying yourself is hurting your business and how you can move towards fixing your own compensation structure. To help us do that is Sharon Sheeky. Sharon is with SBS Accounting and Advisors. You may have heard the name of that company before because they are the show sponsors, so we're real excited to have them on the show today. Sharon has over 20 years of experience in accounting, and she is currently the Accounting Division Director at SBS. In her role at SBS, she helps owners not only just with the normal accounting stuff, but she also helps them understand their numbers and coaches them on how to improve their overall accounting picture. So we are very excited to have Sharon on the show today. Sharon, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
So Sharon, let's just dive right in. We said that we're going to talk about three ways that this underpaying yourself hurts your business. This is a very common practice out there among entrepreneurs and small business owners. So can you tell us kind of what those three ways are, or the main three? There are really more than three, but the three that we sort of decide to focus on today.
Absolutely. So the first thing is you're really creating a hidden cost and you're muddying up your financial statements. So I kind of want to bring in an example of let's just pretend that we have Sarah here and she works late hours. She puts her heart into this business and she's working late nights, weekends. We all can relate to that. To keep her cash flow healthy, what she's doing is she's taking owner's draws, distributions, instead of putting herself on payroll. On paper, makes her business look extremely profitable because owner's draws are not considered business expenses. They're put over on the balance sheet in the equity section. So on the profit and loss, you're going to have low expenses, high profit margins, and it just doesn't account for the value of what Sarah's doing. Okay, right. So in order to kind of put yourself to give yourself the most accurate picture of what your business health is, the transparency of knowing that you have to actually account for what your reasonable salary is really should be there to help that business, you know, make informed choices that will support long-term growth, whether it's buying new equipment, taking on a new loan, do they have to raise prices? All that will be much more clear if that salary is put on the books.
Right. And by the way, I should mention, when we say salary, obviously market rate salary, we're not only talking about a reasonable number, but we're talking about a reasonable cadence of pay as well. So it's not just, you know, when there's money in the bank to do it, but it's like on a regular cycle.
Correct. Would be best kind of to do it the same way that you do your other employees if you have any. And if not, kind of reach out to, you know, your bookkeeper, CPA, to kind of see what kind of cadence you can be put on that'll meet all those obligations for you.
Right. And I might be jumping a little bit ahead because I know we're going to talk about best practices and how to, if you're not doing this correctly now, how can you do it correctly going forward? We're going to get to that in a few minutes. Okay. So anyway, that's the first one. All right.
That's the first one. The second one, not paying yourself your market-based wage, is you're negating potential tax savings. So depending on your business structure, a market-based salary can qualify you for tax deductions that you're absolutely missing out on when you just take an owner's draw. So let's use a different example. Let's take John. He's a contractor, runs his own construction business, and he's trying to avoid payroll taxes. So he takes owner's draws instead of a salary. And that sounds very familiar. While this does afford him some savings, it means he is missing out on some valuable tax deductions on things like health insurance, retirement contributions, 401ks, that if he was on a proper salary, that can allow. And then you miss out on the largest savings at all, and that's being able to count his salary as an expense of the company, and therefore significantly will reduce his taxable income at the end of the day when it comes to filing taxes to the IRS. Right. I always really try to tell my clients, Adam, all the time, let's not focus on not paying taxes. Let's focus on getting your company profitable. And what do we need to do that?
Right. Absolutely. Taxes are something that people sometimes lose the forest for the trees. And yes, you want to save money on taxes, but not at the expense of making bad decisions.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Right. What about the third one?
And then the third one is that it will hurt you if you're deciding that you want to or you're thinking about selling your business. So let's just say in a few years in the future, you're looking at your five-year plan and it's, you know, I want to sell. You know, you've nurtured your business, you've grown your client base, and it's like perfect time for you. You think on paper, you look amazing. Well, the first thing that a business out there that's going to value your company, or even if it's an individual that you're trying to sell to, they're going to be looking at that salary line and seeing what that salary line includes. If we were to go back to Miss Sarah, that was, you know, the designer, she goes to sell. Well, it looks like she has very low expenses, very high profits. And however, that lack of salary for her, that driving force that's behind that business, raises that red flag. And that really is going to cast doubt on that true profitability and overall health of the company, therefore will lower its valuation. It's right. Just really important that you want to make your company look attractive, but you also have to be real at the end of the day that if you're leaving, they probably have to hire somebody to replace you. And now that changes the entire outlook of that business.
Right. And if you're really analyzing the numbers correctly, say in year two, then it's going to change what's happening in year five when you get ready to sell. But if you're, you know, looking at things in a skewed way, you don't have a firm grasp of financial reality in year two, then year five is probably going to look different. And so you need to come to grips with these things early on so that you can prepare if you want to have an exit down the road. So that makes a lot of sense, Sharon. Okay. So then this, you know, begs the obvious question, you know, if I'm doing it wrong right now, and we totally, by the way, I mean, we can understand why people do this the way they do, because, you know, maybe they start a company and there's a lot of sweat equity they put in. They can't afford to pay themselves a market-based wage initially. Totally get it. That's okay. But what are the things, if people can't afford to do this, then what can they do? Or maybe they can't afford to do this and they're just not doing it for, you know, whatever reason. So give us some advice about how we can fix this.
It's my favorite question. It's one that I get all the time. More times than not, I am helping that client that absolutely can't afford it or hasn't put themselves in the position where they can. They really don't quite understand the difference between payroll and distributions, except for the fact they don't have to pay payroll taxes. So usually when I'm dealing with those clients, the first question is, let's establish what that reasonable salary is. Okay, it could be $75,000, it could be $150,000, but let's get that number in our head first. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, what I normally will try to help my clients see is I'm going to print out their cash flow report, or I'll print out their P&L, and I'll put it in Excel so I can make a line underneath net income that says adjustment for compensation, so that the client can see, if we were paying you this today, here's what your numbers would look like.
Okay.
Now, cash flow is number one reason why a lot of businesses just really can't do that. So maybe things have to change. Maybe we need to start looking at what your gross profit is. Do we need to raise prices? Is your pricing where it needs to be? Maybe we just need to wait a little bit for cash flow to get a little bit better. Things are really kicking off in the business. And so for those clients that are so concerned that they can't do this day one, there's no way. It's okay. You and your bookkeeper, your CPA can come up with a plan to start getting you there little by little, as your, you know, cash flow will allow, and then eventually get you to that point where you are paying yourself that salary. And it's just like it is for anybody else that you would have on payroll. I really think that one thing that every client should do is really start focusing on profit. And when I say profit, I really do not mean revenue whatsoever. I mean gross profit and what your pre-tax profit is. Because at that point, you can start really comparing yourself to almost any business out there and start cutting out costs that maybe are a little extreme and putting those costs in the payroll like you should be. I will also mention this, the IRS is not so worried how much you pay yourself as much as they're worried about how much distributions you're taking. As we all know, the IRS did not put us a calculation to say what a reasonable salary is, kind of leaves it out, you know, for people to say they wish that the IRS would just give them an equation. If you're going to take distributions, put yourself on payroll, because you know, one thing that I have learned is that if you paid yourself zero wage and did not take one distribution, the IRS does not care. The IRS cares when you start taking distributions. Right. So at that point, have a plan with your bookkeeper, your CPA, to say, kind of keep me on track. Am I hitting 50-50 on payroll and distributions? Get yourself up to where you need to be at the end of the day.
Right. Well, Sharon, this has been great insight. We really appreciate it. We're going to have Sharon's contact information in the show notes. So if you would like to get in touch with her or anyone at SBS, you can do that. And also want to just mention in closing that because SBS is the sponsor of the show, they have a special just for our listeners. And so we're going to have that in the show notes as well. But if you go to their website and set up a free 30-minute consultation, you can do that. And then if you eventually become a customer, you're going to get 20% off your setup fee. And you can, again, see those details in the show notes. So, Sharon, thank you so much. We really appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Before we go, could I ask a quick favor? Would you please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast app? That helps others find the show. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.